Welcome to Monday Matinee on the Mutual Audio Network.
The following audio drama is rated PG-13, suggesting that children under the age of 13 should listen accompanied with an adult.
Previously on The Gray Area.
I read the articles.
Yes, Chelsea Needham, the most hated woman in the tech world.
Maya. Don't Maya me. You are not part of my life anymore.
I will meet you in any part of the world in 3 months, Lucinda.
We're still gonna meet
Meryl Malone, yes.
The demons are getting stronger.
You must help him!
I'm afraid it may be too late.
We have chicken fajitas. We have real chicken fajitas.
No, you're a good judge.
And you saw him with another man.
McCorkle!
Holding hands.
Very close.
Where was this?
McCorkle!
He was exposing himself? Wow.
McCorkle!
Stanley Sadie. Are you sure it was him?
McCorkle!
Well, that's a hell of a twist for America's most trusted newsman.
McCorkle.
What's the name of this theater? In Red Bank, did you say?
McCorkle, in my office.
Thank you. We'll be looking into this.
McCorkle.
No, of course, I agree. He was a good Catholic man and he needs to be held accountable.
McCorkle.
It's vital that we take down these repugnant hypocrites. Yes, yes, for the sake of moral decency.
McCorkle.
Yes, Miss Gelding. I will be looking into this.
I don't want to feel like I'm a gossip.
No, you're not being a gossip. You're doing America a great service.
McCorkle, now!
Thank you. Hey, I was on a call.
I don't care if you had the president herself on the other line. My office, now.
Okay, Morris. But if I lose this story, it's your ass.
My ass? Well, just remember that I'm your boss.
What the hell was that, Morris? I had a huge lead.
McCorkle?
Don't you understand? I've got a big fish on my line here. The exile of Stanley Sadie. Can you just see it? 10,000 words taking out a scoundrel who delivers the national news each night. A moral reprobate living in mortal sin, hiding in plain sight.
Emily.
No, really, Morris. This is going to be bigger than my Chelsea Needham piece.
The worst woman in tech.
It's got everything! New Jersey sleaze, hunky pool boys, clandestine payoffs, scandalous affairs. There may even be a dead pimp involved. Well, maybe not, but if there isn't one, I'll find one. Any way to enhance the narrative.
The narrative. Yes, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh?
I had the fact checkers look at your last story.
The Kevin Fogelberg piece?
You stitched together bits of armchair psychoanalysis and third-hand rumors. Not one objective fact other than Fogelberg's crazy tweets.
Well, that's still evidence.
He was drunk, and he apologized.
But Kevin Fogelberg is a misogynist. He needed to be taken out.
Look, I despise Kevin Fogelberg as much as you do. But do you know for a fact that he was a misogynist?
What? Isn't it obvious?
Is he an incel? Photographed at MRA events. Do you have any airtight record that he has been spending his time assaulting women other than what people have said about him?
It's his words, Morris.
Words. You've hung people for a lot less. We have editorial standards here, McCorkle, and you failed to meet them.
You've never complained before.
Do you realize what you've done? Fogelberg's attorneys are now breathing down my neck with a libel suit.
Then we fight him! We're journalists!
And get taken out the way Gawker was? You know the Weeping Bugle doesn't have a large budget, especially on the legal front.
Well, you had enough high-priced fish swimming in the tank to hire me away from Gizmodo.
You're not getting it. Fogelberg has enough to get us on actual malice. You know the New York Times versus Sullivan standard.
Do I look like a dummy? I'm a journalist. I know the rules.
You never went to J school.
I'm self-made.
You're a gossip hound. You land eyeballs. We can't deny that. But that's the only reason we hired you.
I'd like to think that you kept me here for my spitball takes on Bachelor in Paradise.
No, McCorkle. All this changes now. I'm pulling you off the Brennan story.
What? But you can't!
I can. I'm your editor, not you. You seem to think you're above accountability.
Now, Morris, that's not what I meant.
Then listen very carefully. We've made a deal. Fogelberg isn't as litigious as he seems. He just wants you to learn something. You're going to do a new story, a second story, on Chelsea Needham.
Chelsea Needham? But why? She's yesterday's news.
She was your meal ticket here. She'll be your path to respectability.
What?
This is going to be a tale of redemption. This time, you're going to make her look like an angel.
But that's a capitulation of my journalistic standards. Why?
We need to show our readers, and by extension, Fogelberg's legal team, that you're not out to get everyone. That the loosest cannon in this office knows how to play ball.
Way to mix your metaphors, Morris. I thought you were here to edit me.
You know what I mean.
But Jesse won't talk to me. Not after what I did. Not after what I published.
You said you were a journalist, right? Well, be a journalist. Get her to talk.
You're asking me to write a puff piece? To betray my moral principles?
No, I'm asking you to be fair.
Fair and balanced. Only because Fogelberg is threatening to sue. This is Fox News bullshit.
No, it's journalistic accuracy and a commitment to facts rather than gossip. I want you to write a story that gets our readers to feel compassion for Chelsea Needham. I want you to humanize her. Not at the expense of being critical. You do what you need to do. But you do have to be real here. I don't want another article that turns your subject into a twisted cartoon.
Why Chelsea Needham?
Because that's the big scoop you're known for. We need to show Fogelberg's attorneys that we're committed to something a little more dignified than cheap sensationalism.
Are you calling me cheap?
Legal tells us that Fogelberg will drop the suit if he can prove that you're more fair in your coverage. It will also demonstrate that the Weeping Bugle is committed to rigorous journalistic standards across the board.
Sensationalism. For fuck's sake, Morris! You're the one who urged me to push the limits here!
Yeah, but I didn't think you'd take my gentle nudge so literally. You've been running with my ideas like a crazed day trader hoovering up a giant bag of cocaine.
For the record, I've never touched the stuff. I'm happily married to a librarian.
You could have fooled me with your frantic copy. If you're so committed to books and high-minded journalism, why all the cat gifts and the shoutouts to Sprouse Twins / Fic in your Twitter feed?
It's a way to let off some steam.
Yeah, I'll bet. But I don't think you understand the gravity of the situation here. One little addendum.
Shoot.
If you don't file a story that will have every reader from here to Wichita crying in their cubicles about Chelsea Needham's comeback, then I'm cutting you loose.
What? But my contract!
Your contract stipulated that if you ever put the Weeping Bugle in jeopardy, with this Fogelberg suit, you very much have, then we reserve the right to terminate you. With a severance deal, of course, but also with a non-compete.
But that means I can't write for anyone else in the next 2 years.
Exactly.
So, I have no choice.
Oh, there's always a choice, McCorkle. You of all people know that. Write this story and you'll continue being a journalist here at the Weeping Bugle. Continue with your fire and brimstone and you won't have a byline anywhere for a long while. Not even in a 2-bit penny saver operating out of some battered barn in Nebraska. Think carefully. 2 years can be a very long time for a young journalist to stay in the limelight. A long time to gain that pivotal career traction.
You're sabotaging my career.
I'm giving a black rose one last chance to bloom.
A black rose?
Well, so long as you remain a thorn in my side, maybe one day you'll be a blue iris.
Since when were you a botany man, Morris?
Do I make myself clear?
Yes.
It really comes down to this, Emily. You've got to stop demonizing people in your stories. You have talent and you can be very thoughtful. But you're all flash and no substance, no nuance, no warmth.
Oh, come on! Spend some time with me in the winter and I burn up like a dependable radiator.
Life is all black and white with you. Here's a professional tip. Let the quotes speak for themselves. Sources often hang themselves by their own words. Show some finesse. Let the readers decide.
It sounds like you've decided for them.
You report. They decide.
Fox News bullshit.
Editorial integrity! We have to keep some of that going, even as we try desperately to get people to pay for the news. Now go out there and get 'em, Tiger.
I'm not your tiger.
Okay. Then get the hell out of my office.
The world's a newscast. They say that daydreams are some of the smartest. The world needs people to imagine great visions. It's all part of life's rich pattern.
Ed? Hey, are you okay? You've been silent.
Fine, Maya. I'm fine.
You got the Gaskell book?
The Broken Abyss? Yes. I have it.
Are you nervous?
No, I just need to sit here right now.
It must be the house.
It's not the house.
It rubs off on people. Anyone who comes in contact with it hears strange things.
Even your neighbors?
Only strangers who share something with me, or people who I become close with, or maybe it's related to...
The people who leave you.
Well, they do say that home is where the heart is.
Not my heart.
Ed, what's wrong?
Look, I don't want to talk about it. I'm trying to stay professional here. Just, let me sit here, and I'll be good once we hit Malone's office.
Cut the crap, Ed. I know you're not making a dime off of this investigation. If you were, I wouldn't be here.
I'm just hoping Merrill Malone can give us the answers about...
Miss Gaskell. Yes, the story. Why it's so close to what happened.
Maybe I'm still dreaming.
Ow! Hey, that hurt! What'd you do that for?
To remind you that you're not dreaming. And to get you to snap out of whatever the hell's fucking you. Ich bin echt. This is real.
Okay, it's real. You can't argue with a sting of well-meaning pugilism.
What's wrong?
A woman.
I know something about that.
I hope you're not going to make me speak to you in German again. I barely managed it the first time.
No, I just need to make sure you're on the level.
You made that clear when I knocked on your door.
The house is probably rumbling right now. Because I'm not there.
Hey, let's hope nobody calls 311, huh?
What's wrong?
Maybe it was a dream. I don't know what to believe anymore.
You've seen enough in this investigation to know that it's not. What's eating you?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Okay, well... Since we're being real, and you've been very real after everything you've gone through, I suppose.
Who was she?
Okay, fine. Look, I don't give a fuck. I met someone. A British woman.
What was her name?
Listen. I can't seem to remember. That's the weirdest thing about this.
Come on, try.
No, it's not coming. But I think I fell in love with her. That's why you couldn't get in touch with me yesterday.
Huh. What happened?
She was taken away.
By who?
Demons.
The portal.
I don't know if it's connected.
Johnny.
Maybe.
You know, I used to love someone too.
I know, and I'm sorry about that.
Look, I'm over Chelsea. It was hard and tough. It took a lot of work, but I'm over her. It's the invasive journalists who worry me now. This is about you, isn't it?
What's about me?
The investigation.
No. It's about Virginia Gaskell. It's about learning the truth.
Kinder und Betrunkener sagen immer die Wahrheit.
What does that mean?
Only children and fools tell the truth.
Are you saying we're fools?
I'm saying we're children. Sometimes children fall in love, and it's very beautiful.
Hello! You must be Miss...
Needham? Chelsea Needham?
Oh, yes! Miss Needham! Needham... That's exactly what a starved man says to a piece of bread hours after he forgot to have breakfast.
Like I haven't heard that one before. Wait a minute. Your voice. You're one of them.
One of who?
The receptionist. Never mind.
Yes, I am the receptionist. And we're so excited to see you.
You don't know who I am, do you? You're probably one of the other ones.
The other who?
It doesn't matter.
Why, of course it matters. Oh, and I know you. You're Chelsea Needham, the 10 o'clock a.m. appointment for Gladys Johnson. And I must say that you've come at a particularly apposite time. Today is Bagel Friday.
Bagel Friday?
For apotheosis employees. Now, I can't guarantee anything, but if your surname is any indication, I have a feeling that you may have forgotten to eat breakfast. I may be able to pull a few strings.
You don't happen to have an electromatter scanner by chance?
A what?
Never mind. Of course you don't know. You're another.
Another who?
Another receptionist.
Oh no, I'm the receptionist. I'm sorry, I'm new here. I only just arrived.
How long have you been here?
I don't really know.
No electromatter scanner.
What's an electromatter scanner? It does sound like a rather interesting toy. And I do like toys. Even a grown man like me still finds wonder in sifting through a bin of Legos. It makes such a pleasing sound.
I'll bet.
Hey, it's important to remember your inner child.
So you don't know what an electromatter scanner is? Maybe you'll find out one day.
Ah, the big buzz.
The big buzz.
The buzz of a significant appointment. Miss Johnson is ready to see you now.
Thank you.
An electromatter scanner. It does sound a bit familiar. Perhaps it's the very thing I've been missing.
And I think I'm ready to come back.
Miss Needham.
It's been 3 years since the fire. People have forgotten about it, and I've changed in more ways than you know.
We appreciate you coming in.
We? It's just you.
Well, I appreciate it. Look, Chelsea, I've got a level with you. I took your call because I know you're good. I mean, hell, you were the best CTO I've ever worked with. I mean, Markson couldn't even cut it. But worst woman in tech? There's no getting around that.
Come on. That was 3 years ago. It wasn't my fault. Don't people get second chances?
Well, whether it was your fault or not, this is what shows up when people Google your name.
Emily McCorkle. The Gizmodo article.
Apotheosis is a Fortune 500 company. And while we tolerate quite a number of eccentric personalities here, we really can't have our company's reputation tarnished, especially after Jimmy Markson.
Okay. I'm not going to get angry. You have the right to feel the way you do. But I have one final question.
Shoot.
If you were never going to hire me to replace Jimmy Markson as CTO, why did you bother to call me in?
Well, do you want the nice answer, or do you want the honest answer?
You could be candid. Maybe the truth will help.
Well, truthfully, I wanted to see if you were as crazy as the Gizmodo article said you were.
Thank you. I'll show myself out.
Chelsea.
They were never interested in me. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just some circus freak.
Chelsea, you have to roll with the punches.
This is the fourth job interview where it's all about the goddamn article, but not me. Not my work.
You really don't remember your journey, do you?
That's in the past. I'm trying to earn a living. Live a real life.
You are earning a living. It's just not what you were doing before. Look, I gotta go. Rick and I have the gala tonight.
The gala? Wait a minute, is that the New Yorker thing?
Yes. Remnick wants to meet. He really likes my animation. That was a huge surprise. And he's looking to spruce up the website.
I'm really happy for you. But I...
Chelsea?
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry. I'm such
there?
A klutz.
What's going
it's
on?
All right.
Here, let me help.
I've got it.
Wait a minute.
Chelsea?
Are you...
Maybe?
Chelsea need him. Didn't Gizmodo write something about you?
Are you there? What's going
if
on?
If you're a reporter...
Well, no.
Chelsea?
Yes and no. Look. I'm sorry what you went through.
I don't need your pity.
Perhaps it's best if I go.
Are you there? What's going on?
Especially if you're some media hack.
I really should be going. This isn't a good idea.
What isn't a good idea?
Slim pickings in Midtown, Ed. But the guy at the coffee stand had a macchiato and a...
Maya.
It was an accident. I just ran into her.
Is this why you took me here?
Maya.
No. Not at all.
Maya.
You stay away. Do I have to file a restraining order? Leave me alone!
It's not her fault.
Maya, I won't bother you, but I...
Look, maybe this was meant to happen.
What?
I mean, we could have picked any number of places in New York to congregate before meeting Malone.
Who's Malone?
Meryl Malone? Not that I'd expect you to know. And frankly, it's none of your business.
Wait a minute. What are the odds that you two would run into each other here?
Maya, I don't want to hurt you.
You brought me here for her, didn't you? Did you trick me?
No, this was a total coincidence. Oh, thanks for the Americano.
Chelsea?
Maya, please, can't we at least bury the hatchet?
What's going on?
No, I'm not going to reopen this chapter.
But it wasn't my fault. I feel terrible about your grandfather's death. Really, I do.
I'm sure she does. But Maya, we've got the meeting with Malone at noon.
Yes, we do.
Maya, please, can't we just meet for coffee sometime? I've changed. Really, I have.
You've changed? Right. Coffee? Do you see what I'm holding in my hand, quiz kid?
Easy there on the coffee, Maya.
It happened twice.
Twice? What happened twice?
Come on, let's go.
No, this could be important.
Your grandfather's death. The fire. I saw it happen twice.
Wait a minute. How?
You wouldn't believe me.
Oh, Miss Needham, you'd be surprised at what I'd be willing to entertain.
She's full of shit, as always.
I don't think so.
We've got to go.
Come on, Maya. We have a few minutes.
Don't come on, Maya, me. Do you know how much pain she's caused me?
I've thought about it every day.
I know this is difficult, but this might be part of the investigation. It could tie in to the geniuses who have gone missing.
Geniuses?
The portals. Oh, never mind. Maya, you're right. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. Let's go.
Wait a minute. You know about the portals?
She's always talked to Blue Streak.
I actually went through a few of them.
Really? Did you hear voices?
A few. A man named Thomas. I can contact him anytime. He's got my back.
Thomas? I don't know any Thomas. No demons?
Listen to me, Chelsea. Stop following me. I don't want you in my life anymore. You betrayed me. You hurt me.
I wasn't following you. Really? I didn't mean it. But the universe does seem to want us together. How else do you explain this completely random run-in?
High probability?
No, she's right. This is a bit improbable. I mean, what are the odds?
Excuse me. I couldn't help but notice...
You.
Emily McCorkle.
Please, I can explain.
The Gizmodo reporter. Well, now this seems wildly improbable.
Have you been spying on me?
I just want to talk.
Haven't you done enough?
Okay, this is getting a little weird.
Look, I'm sorry about all the trouble I've caused.
Sorry, she says, casually destroying lives.
It was a big story.
You ruined my life.
And mine.
I know. And I'm sorry.
Look, maybe we should get going.
You're sorry? And I'm a bookseller about to sell 5,000 copies of the Quran to the Pope.
I am. And now I want to do you right.
Can't you leave these two alone?
The professional character assassin wants to give us a big hug. Do you want to stab us in the front or in the back? I mean, I want to make sure that you get what you want here.
Don't you realize what you've done? You don't have any moral conscience.
I do. Hear me out.
We really should get going.
No, I want to settle this.
I meant Miss Trower and me.
How did you find me?
I had a tip from a source. I knew you had a meeting at Apotheosis today. What did you discuss?
That's none of your business.
We really need to go.
Wait a minute. Apotheosis? Chelsea, you were trying to go back to them after what they did to you?
We do what we have to do.
Look, Miss McCorkle, I think it's best that you leave.
No. I'm a journalist. If you think I'm going to walk away as some notable power couple reunites...
This isn't your story.
I thought you said you were going to do us right.
You see? She's in it for the big kill.
Really, I'm not.
If you're a journalist and I'm a humanitarian moonlighting as a nude acrobat...
Let's get out of here.
But who are you?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Oh, I think I do.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Don't look! Stay away from that thing!
Maya! Ed, that was your name?
Yes.
Trust me on this. This is dangerous.
I know. I've seen the portals before.
It is quite beautiful.
No, Maya! Don't stare at the lights!
Holy shit! I'm gonna get a Pulitzer!
I don't think so. Let's get out of here!
Wait! Wait, where are you going?
Certainly got her big scoop.
Chelsea, she's a human being.
I don't think we've seen the last of her.
We can talk about all this later.
The
I don't understand. I thought Chester was finished with me.
Who's Chester?
That winged thing. If we don't do something now, he'll rip his claws into us. We need to find a receptionist.
A receptionist?
He's a guide. Someone who could stop Chester.
He's coming this way.
Who's the receptionist?
I know where to find one. But what about Professor Malone?
Do you want to get ripped apart by that thing?
The receptionist? Chels, if you're fucking with us...
I'm not. This way.
Hello again, Miss Needham. Wait a minute, didn't you already have your appointment?
Yes, but now I'm here to see you.
Me? Well, color my stars and call me a rainbow.
This guy? Really?
Yes.
Oh dear.
Wait a minute, I know your voice.
Come on, receptionist, wake up.
Wake up?
You sound like the orderly at the rest home.
Why, well, I'm quite peppy already, Miss Needham. Who are your friends?
I'm Ed Chan.
And I'm Maya Trower. We're not friends.
It's complicated.
Oh, it often is.
That thing outside!
Look, there's a big winged beast out there, and we need to move fast. It killed a reporter. Receptionist, come on, buddy. Look me in the eye. Tell me you know Chester.
I don't know what you're talking about. Please don't make me call security. I don't wish to rock any boats.
Was this part of the plan? Jesus, Chelsea!
Come on, man! Remember the electromatter scanner?
I must confess that those words do ring a faint bell, and the notion of an electromatter scanner does greatly appeal to me, but I still don't know what that is.
Okay, I didn't want to have to do this, but...
But what?
Okay. Do you know the works of... Tony Danza?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Tony Danza.
What is this? Where are they now?
Tony Danza? You mean the guy from Who's the Boss?
Tony Danza!
Danza?
Danza? Danza? Danza! My goodness, my goodness, my goodness! How did you know? I love Tony Danza!
You see?
Ooh, did you know that Tony Danza has a Robert Crumb tattoo on his upper right arm? He was a former boxer, you know. He actually has three tattoos.
Guys.
His wife's name on his chest, a boxing gloves tattoo on his right arm that says, keep punching, and...
Oh no!
Look out!
Under the desk!
What does it want?
Receptionist, get down!
He's coming in for the kill!
Oh, hello there!
What the hell?
Oh, yes! I understand you. I'm not sure how.
Receptionist!
Receptionist, what did you do?
Your name is Chester, is it not? Oh, then we'll get along just fine.
How can you understand?
Receptionist!
I don't know. Really, I don't. But some details are coming back.
Is he going to kill us?
No, apparently not. But he is worried about something called pattern language. It's afflicting this universe.
Christopher Alexander!
Who?
He's an architect. He coined the term. Are you some kind of alien?
Not exactly. Yes! Chester knows exactly what you're talking about.
But what does he want?
It's not her. Look at her face. It's fainting.
It's working.
What plan?
Chester seems a little scared.
You must leave now. This is unprecedented.
What's unprecedented?
I don't know, but you must leave.
Oh no, not another one.
Why are they opening so frequently?
We must be released.
Try. What the hell is she talking about?
The light.
You must leave.
Not a bad idea.
No, you will stay. The time has come for all humans to walk the earth, and you will join us.
Yes.
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 To be continued in 2 weeks' time.
You've been listening to Not a Frown Further. Chapter 2 of Pattern Language, Episode 13.2 of The Gray Area. It was written, produced, and directed by Edward Champion. Katrina Clairvoyant appeared as Chelsea. Belgis Felix appeared as Emily McCorkle. Tanya Maloyevich appeared as Maya. David Tao appeared as Morris Pressman. Edward Champion appeared as Ed Champion. Elizabeth Remar appeared as Alicia. Hyla Hathaway appeared as Johnson. Pete Lutz appeared as the Vahita Demon. Leanne Troutman appeared as the Cunning Demon. Emily Carding appeared as Lucinda. Westlake Stark appeared as Mrs. Gelding. And Zach Glassman appeared as the Receptionist. Creature voices by Samantha Cooper and Rachel Baird. Incidental music licensed through Neo Sounds and Music Fox. Sound design, editing, engineering, and mastering by a bald man in Brooklyn who does his best to resist mayonnaise, but can't entirely fight the allure for a good tuna sandwich. If you like what you have heard, and you don't want to wait 2 weeks from now for a new episode, consider supporting our program by going to grayareapod.com, that's GRAYAREAPOD, and buying a Season 2 pass. For only $20, you'll have access to a Season 2 pass, which will give you instant access to all the remaining episodes, along with copies of all the scripts, and all of our behind-the-scenes podcast, Inside the Gray Area. You'll get 1,000 pages of scripts and about 400 minutes of extra bonus material. I think there's more than that, to tell you the truth. Think of the Season 2 Pass as a DVD commentary. Buy a Season 2 Pass, and you'll be supporting independent audio drama and helping to keep our show alive. That's grayareapod.com. Also, if you enjoyed the show, you can also leave us a review on iTunes so that more listeners know what we have going on here. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with the next chapter in Pattern Language. It's called An Iris for Emily. Now, that's a reference to the Faulkner story, maybe, Well, Emily McCorkle finds herself on a strange talk show. She's being interviewed by a famous journalist known as Ophelia Kakanakis. But why is Ophelia being so personally invasive? And why is the audience laughing at Emily's pain? And who are the strange voices in the back? Well, we will have a short preview of that episode after these closing credits. Until next time, wherever you are in the universe, be good to yourself and kind to others. Thank you for listening. Next time on The Gray Areas.
I will now step back and take a long time to listen.
Emily McCorkle, the 31-year-old rising star at the Weeping Bugle.
It was more than a few times.
Those voices.
That's strange. He wasn't one of the scheduled guests.
Miss McCorkle, how much do you remember about me?
Everybody deserves a break.
No! No, Emily! Don't let them get you! Don't let them!
I just wanted to make a difference.
That's what they all say.